hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on the TV screen. But it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio. Talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AM/FM shortwave talk radio.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, hour two of the National Intel Report, and I've got people walking around in the network here that I have no idea who they are. Danny, would you like to take care of this gentleman that's standing here looking at me? He could have been a cop. You never know. It could have been a robber with a gun. Help! Help! Second hour of the National Intel Report here, ladies and gentlemen. Just having fun with some pedestrian decided to walk into the to the network. At any rate, it's a good thing I'm in a good mood. Around here, we don't call 911, if you know what I mean. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Friday. And we're opening up the phones on this 10th day of March 2006. My guest this hour as well, we had him on last hour, John Sharp, that put together one of the best compilations of essays that I have seen. And it's so good, John Sharp, that somebody ran out of here at the network with my copies of Neocon to Neocon Again.
So yeah, you got to keep a close leash on them, that's for sure.
I'm telling you what, it's something. I'll tell you what, let's go to the phones. This guy's been holding for 37 minutes before he gets earitis here. Roger in Pennsylvania. Hello, Roger.
Thanks, Jensen. I'm hoping you have some essays that go into this. I just think this is such a vitally important point that I've yet to hear even closely expressed to this, and that is on the neoconage of America. You know, neocon is, of course, short for new conservatives, but yet you go down every plank of what can quite properly be called a conservative agenda. You can't find these so-called new conservatives adhering to a single one of them. Like, for example, with all of the Great Society and New Deal socialisms, in their very own writings, it's anathema to think of rolling back even a single one of these entitlements. And so just what tiny plank, there may be one where they are actually conservative, but I can't think of one.
Well, what are they conserving? I mean, look, let me just put it to you straight here. Back in March 9th of 1933, the United States government officially declared bankruptcy. The Congress, in due course, is the holders of that bankruptcy trust. Now, what is that telling everybody? Now, they don't need fiscal responsibility with the checkbook. Why? Well, we can just spend what we want, order the Treasury to print it up, and we can sell off T-bills and bonds to everybody. We'll have everybody buy our debt. Except the chickens have come home to roost. What's happening? Oh, they're dumping the dollar. We're not stable anymore, and they're going to the euro.
And here's where it's so vitally important to expose this at every possible opportunity. And that is because the socialisms themselves provide sort of the cover. Nobody wants to see the boat rocked to jar loose these socialisms. And therefore, the public allows their controlling elites to get away. They give them a pass on far more than they would otherwise.
Yeah, we got to take a break here, Roger. I'm going to ask you to hold on through the break. But we got a cure for that one, too. Socialism? Oh, well, that's when we extract money from other people's pockets. You know, the old idea of a chicken in every pot. If you got two in yours, get out one and give it to your neighbor. Well, we're going to move from socialism right into fascism. We're going to sell off the infrastructure of the country to foreign entrepreneurs. Doesn't that sound American? Don't worry, folks. Your government screwed everything up. Got everybody so far in debt we have no money for nothing anymore. But don't worry. We'll just sell off the infrastructure to the foreigners now. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Oh, my mic was hot. I do have a cough button, but I didn't know it was hot. At any rate, program note here, folks. Tomorrow, Webster Tarpley starts on the network. John, do you know Webster? Do I still have John Sharp? John? John Sharp calling.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. There you are.
Yeah. No, I sure don't know him.
Okay. Well, at any rate, Webster Tarpley is starting on the network tomorrow. He'll be on 3 to 5 Central Time. And my producer is in here cutting his bumper music, and it's all long hair, Beethoven and whatever else. And I just told the producer here, I said, you know, they used to call that long hair music.
Mm.
My producer has a beard, and I swear I just saw it grow 3 inches.
Funny.
At any rate, starting tomorrow, 3 to 5 Central, on the shortwave for the rest of the country. They're not in range of an AM or FM out there. And you people over in Europe and in Canada to also listen via the shortwave outlet, 11915, 3 to 5 Central Time. You're going to want to tune that program in, if not for nothing else, for the nice music. At any rate, back to the phones here. Roger in Pennsylvania, go ahead with your question, sir.
Yeah, if I could just finish with this as quick as I can manage and turn it over to you guys for comment. And that is, these socialisms, again, provide the control mechanism to keep us all in check. Now, I want to address those folks that are writing you those somewhat appreciative but perhaps nasty letters about debating whether they should open the new bag of Purina's natural blend if they want to go gourmet, or if they're going to have to settle for something less. Now, these folks, is not hypocritical to simultaneously collect the stinking entitlements and simultaneously work to eliminate them altogether. In as little as 5 to 10 years, all this so-called retirement, etc., could be totally privatized, incrementally at least, with no loss of any of these benefits for any of their natural days. Now, these folks think it's, and the idea is that, see, we have to preserve this for their children and their children's children so that they can labor under the same penurious eyedropper dispensing socialism as they have today. Now, is that even possible? Now, as I just heard the
Hold on a second. Let me interrupt you for a second to tell you, yes, it is possible. Because
it's
not
possible.
Now, hold on a second, John. No, it's possible for the left or the, I don't want to use the term progressive, because that's a new term that they had to invent to get away from the communists that they discovered that they were carrying the water for the Marxist boys out there. Just as they had to pick up a new name, so did the Republicans, hence neocon. Okay, it's a brand new type of conservatism. But here's the thing, here was my point, is that something magical has happened. You watch television, it's a big debate, left or right. Since 9/11, this thing stunk to high heavens, to people on both sides of the aisle, people that affiliated themselves with political parties. The left has been seriously looking at us right-wing fringe nuts out there. That's what the press likes to call us. And they're discovering that they agree with about 75% to 80% of what we say. Before, it was a buzzword. Oh, the guy's conservative? I don't want to talk to him. Oh, the guy's a liberal? I don't want to talk to him. We have smashed those things. That paradigm is crumbling out there. So I just wanted to throw that in there to make people understand that we got more liberals listening to this network now than I ever dreamed imaginable. I am what is considered or termed an ultra-conservative. But they're discovering that they are in agreement with a lot of what we believe, but it's been so bastardized that they don't even know what they're looking at anymore.
Yeah, you're exactly right, John.
Lastly, before you comment, was it's not possible, as I just read the other day, there's some now $430,000 per every man, woman, and child of obligations, as little as maybe, what was it, 5-7 years ago, that was as little as $50,000 per. It's absolutely impossible that they could pass this on to their children and get any of the gravy while still having all of the ultra-heavy taxation which is going to be required. Now, it can be painfully turned over, and as I said, as little as 5 or 10 years, and have the possibility of having a real retirement without any of the government intervention. We don't want this true privatization to have anything to do with the government dictating what mechanisms you can have to put your money in, and God bless you all.
Okay. Comment on that?
John, I want to go back to the thing he started with, because all this business of the kind of soft socialism or whatever of the neocons really comes from the fact that they were all Trotskyites when they started. I mean, these guys were left-wingers in the 70s, and we have two essays in the book that brings this out. Number one is an essay, in fact, that ties the thing in with 9/11. It's called Israel, 9/11, and the Neoconservatives. And just sum it up quickly, the point the author makes, it's Steve Snigoski, who's a historian here in the D.C. area, probably one of the country's experts on the history of neoconservatism. And he brings out that many of these guys, Richard Perle particularly, who I think Jude Winiski used to call the Prince of Darkness, that was his nickname in circles that did not approve of Richard Perle's activities. He was a staffer for Senator Scoop Jackson, and we could do a whole program just on this history. But these guys were all left-wingers who simply got fed up with the Democrats' appeasement of the Soviets. They thought that we needed to take a hard line, the whole Cold War kind of mindset. They started to migrate in the late 70s, and then certainly under Reagan is when they came into their own, because they wanted a very, very, very militaristic footing of our approach to the Soviets. Now, I think the whole history of the Cold War even is something you could go into much longer, because the popular perception, I'm not sure how completely accurate that is. Suffice it to say that when these guys came into the Republican Party, they brought all their Trotskyite baggage with them. They didn't decide that, well, we're not really in favor of big government. They brought all this ideological baggage with them, and simply because they were hawks, both against the Soviets and, frankly, in favor of Israel. One of their other main efforts is to make sure that we perceive our own national interest in terms of foreign policy, particularly Middle East foreign policy, through the lens of the Israeli interest in the Middle East. That's, you know, a whole other subject we could do on a whole separate program. But suffice it to say, these guys had no conservative credentials whatsoever, and the old-fashioned conservatism of the 40s and 50s that looked for limited government and a preservation of freedom and in terms of
fiscal responsibility.
Exactly, and the nurturing of culture and all these institutions of society that are not the state, but that are a real civil society. You know, all this rhetoric we hear about the polis of the ancient Greeks, I mean, this real involved citizenry, all that stuff, they had nothing to do with that. They weren't interested in that. They have never been, in terms of their pedigree. They operate on an ideological level. The other thing that that is brought out by this book, is this the second volume now I'm speaking of, this essay by Klaus Rinn, R-Y-N. He's a professor at Catholic University in the politics department. His essay is called The New Jacobinism. And for anybody who knows anything about the French Revolution, the Jacobins were the most rabid ideologues. They were the ones that wanted not only to cut everyone's head off and install this kind of Enlightenment-based regime, but they were pushing to export it. In other words, all of Napoleon's exploits throughout Europe was trying to conquer one country after another to turn these countries into quote-unquote democracies in order to make them just like the French Republic, and you know, which is certainly the antithesis of the old-fashioned French culture, which had this long tradition of a kind of a hierarchical society and a society where there were local towns, villages, fiefdoms, dukedoms, you name it. But it was the decentralist approach, and what in our own tradition is the federalist approach, which does not see centralized power, but sees rather distributed power in the villages and the towns and the cities. Let people manage their own affairs, basically. To sum up, Rinn's analysis compares the Jacobins of France, who pushed Napoleon to export their pro-democracy revolution throughout Europe, with the new Jacobins that he terms them, namely the neoconservatives, who want to remake the world in America's image by force of arms. And that's, you know, that's the beginning and end of the story on the neocons. So the idea that there's anything conservative about them is, again, a mind game. It's a clever stunt of language that has people assume, well, you know, if I'm a Republican, I need to support these guys. And I think that's the perfect tie-in with your argument about how this Republican-Democrat label just doesn't serve us anymore.
No, it doesn't. And on the issue of privatization, the infrastructure privatization, I urge people to go up to the presidential documents. Monday, May 4th of 1992, Volume 28, Number 18, pages 707 through 758, it spells out the infrastructure for privatization. Now, foreign governments could buy America lock, stock, and barrel. Churches would not be left standing alone, by the way. So for all you 501c3s out there that thought you did the deal with the government, guess again. By authority vested in me as a president, by the Constitution, the laws of the United States of America, in order to ensure that the United States achieves its most beneficial economic use of its resources, it is hereby ordered that, and it goes into the definitions, the section, definitions for the purposes of this order. Privatization means the disposition or transfer of an infrastructure asset, such as a sale or by long-term lease, from a state or local or a private party. Infrastructure asset means any asset financed in whole or in part by the federal government. Think about that one, folks, how much money that people, you know, they got that proverbial carrot out there. The government's always funding this and funding that. Well, look how many federal dollars touch something. Well, guess what? It can be sold off whole or in part. And they say that as needed for the functioning of the economy, examples such as assets includes, but not limited to, roads, tunnels, bridges, electricity, supply facilities, mass transit, rail transportation, airports, ports, waterways, water supply facilities, recycling, wastewater treatment facilities, solid waste disposal facilities, housing, schools, prisons, and hospitals. That's right. Foreign governments can now come in and buy, ladies and gentlemen, what you paid to have built. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Let's go back to the callers here. Bill in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Bill.
Hello, John. It's always good to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
RBN is doing such a great job, I don't hardly know where to begin.
Well, I appreciate that. we're finally getting traction with good talk show hosts.
Well, your hosts are, your guests are just, the quality is incredible. The esoteric conversations are just... they're unbelievable.
Well,
we're being destroyed. We know that, and
yeah.
It's our most important thing is we got to do something about it, which is what RBN is all about.
Well, and Bill, just think if we had millions of dollars in budgets every year, what we could do, huh?
Oh, we got none. Here's my bottom line and reason for calling. Have you seen the video Loose Change yet?
Loose Change, too, yes. I had Dylan Avery. I brought him down here to Central Texas.
Okay, I just, if we're going to wake people up, get this giant... on his feet, as it were. I think that's what we're all striving to do. Loose Change is a movie on 9/11 that I think a lot of people are onto and relevant to. They can understand it. It's close to the battlefront.
Yeah.
And I just noticed that if you go do a Google search on Loose Change and you pop down to the fourth listing, it says Google Video. And you click on it, and you get the entire Loose Change video instantly loads on your screen and begins to play.
Okay.
And I just thought I'd mention that was the reason I call. I'm advertising. Go to Google, Loose Change, and the fourth listing down there says Google Video. Click on it, and you can sit down for an hour and watch the whole shebang right in front of you.
All righty. Well, I appreciate
it, John. And your guest is great. Keep up the good. You're doing a great job. Keep up this good fight.
Well, wait till we can throw up another satellite and add more programming. Then people are going to have a choice as to what brand of truth that they get out there. And it's going to become a point where it's to their personal taste and liking. Well, that's going to be exciting. If I had budgetary matters in hand and I had millions of dollars per year, I'll tell you what, I would make sure that MSNBC, NBC, CBS, the great radio empire that's out there, that it all goes by the wayside. Everybody's dropping off of watching these paid whores. I can't be any kinder than that on television with their own agendas and their own script handed to them, literally from the Department of Justice, the NSA, or from the White House. It doesn't matter. I mean, you're either going to get in line or you're going to get gone. The alternative media, we are the alternative to the so-called media out there. I want to be big enough out there that everybody has a fair crack in this country to find out what the truth is. You know, the old saying, folks, remember the computers back in the 80s made the big run on the commercial market out there? The individuals could buy them. And they kept telling you, well, you know, if your program's not coming around or the information isn't right, you know, garbage in, garbage out. Well, that's all the American public has been getting. Garbage. They've not been any semblance or not even a veiled truth. So how are they supposed to make up their mind about anything? How are they supposed to know who to elect at their polls? What are they supposed to believe when they're spoon-fed, pre-packaged, pre-digested garbage?
Yeah, you know, John, let me offer at least on the war. I mean, the rest of it is such an uphill battle, but on the war, let me just use that intro for a shameless plug for these two books, because one of the things we've started using as a soundbite, since we live in the soundbite culture and that seems to be all that a lot of people have time for, is that these books help you read between the headlines. You know, they say you read between the lines to really understand what's going on. And of course, these days, all people have time for is the headlines. And what we're advertising now or trying to push or use as a catchy way to remember the value brought to the war discussion by these books is that they will help you read between the headlines. In other words, when you get the news updates from wherever, you know, as you so accurately put it, these useless outlets that do millions of dollars of business to bring us just the same garbage every day, you can find often little snippets of truth that sneak in. They're always at the end of the article. They're always kind of portrayed as, well, you know, Harry's other opinion is this, blah, blah, blah. So they maintain this kind of veil of objectivity. But I have found after working myself on these books and after talking to people who have read them, some people love them so much that I ran into a guy the other night at a little author event we did down here in Washington. He had the book, you know, with these little sticky tabs on the pages and pencil markings. And, I mean, that was the most flattering thing for me to see. It was so heartwarming because I feel, you know, that's what we did as we prepared the things. And to see someone using it that way is so uplifting.
It became their truth Bible.
Well, absolutely. And so my exposure, I guess, for people who have used the book in that way is that they can now go and read the New York Times, which, again, in some cases, on what's really happening in Iraq, you know, you don't have the Iraq Truth Network. I mean, you're forced to just by default, absent discussions like this and programs like this, to try to keep tabs on things through these mainstream outlets. But you can go in there, is my contention, after you've read and digested these books and find the little snippets, the little comments from here and there that people make that they put at the end of these articles and start to form a picture of what's happening and, frankly, start to think more critically. You can read the headlines and say, well, I know that that's garbage because I've read this thorough analysis and I understand that the way they're portraying the facts that they have to work with is totally false and a total misrepresentation. So, you know, we're pushing this line now that if you want to be able to deal with the headlines, if you don't have the luxury of listening to your program and others like it, and you're forced to try to digest this garbage, read these books to help you decipher what you're being told.
And I made a mistake here. Actually, if you go up on the web, folks, if you can get both books for $45, and plus $5 shipping and handling. That's normally $55.90 for both books, plus $4.50 shipping and handling. That'd be $60.40. Well, we're knocking $10.40 off of it, $50 total. Give us a call Monday. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBN, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com. The store that invests its profits in your freedom.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
All right, we're back. Let's go back to the phones here, and then I want to do about a 16-questionnaire here with my good friend John here. John, he's pretty sharp. No, I'm sorry, that's his name, John Sharp.
Very good.
No, you are a sharp fellow, and every time I interview, I find out that your depth of knowledge is even greater than I had previously thought.
Well, between you and the caller, John, you're going to give me a big head, so please
okay.
Well, take it easy. But I'm just pleased to be able to contribute to the discussion, to be honest.
And we need more people to climb out of that out of the shadows and do exactly what we're doing. I mean, this is insane. We've got many good minds, but somehow they're being stifled here. Let's go back to the phones. I hope I pronounce this correctly. Barath in Austin.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I really wanted to commend your guest, Mr. Sharp, for doing something that's truly Catholic, truly universal, and bringing together all these disparate political ideologies together to fight the New World Order. I think it's really a really positive step for all of us who criticize what's going on right now. As someone who has progressive social values, which I do, I think that it's really great that you have guys like Noam Chomsky and Sam Francis on the same page together, because I think that, you know, united we do stand.
Yeah.
And I think that that's – I applaud you for that. One thing I wanted to take issue with that you had said that was being discussed earlier was the discussion about corporations providing health care for their employees and how that sort of decreases our competitiveness. I think that there's
I don't. I didn't think you said health care. He said retirement. We were talking about retirements.
Okay.
Yeah.
Retirements.
Yeah.
I think that the point remains the same in that even if we were to scale back some of those social obligations which American companies have historically had for their employees, we can never ever compete with slave labor in places like China. And you know, it really is a slippery slope. Because once you cut the benefits that are being given to employees, like retirement benefits, then the next step would be to lower our wages till we have a parity with nations that literally have slaves. And and there's just absolutely no way we can compete with that.
Okay, well, Barath, let me just stop you here for a second. And
sure.
John, whatever you're thinking right now, just hold that. And here's the problem, Barath. The problem is that I don't see anything wrong with a company providing medical benefits or a copay where they work, okay? But I don't even think we even had that before. What we had is an honest living wage. If you wanted a better job, well, then you smartened up and you went out and you got a better job. What we've done here, we've socially engineered a pattern of people's thoughts in this country that somebody somewhere has to provide something for them free of charge. Now, here's the problem. With the medical industry, and it's an industry, the pharma cartels and everything else in this country.
Right.
Now we have insurance company with the middlemen. You pay a buck in insurance and 70-some percent of that gets paid out because, well, they have to do business themselves. Whatever happened to direct pay to hospitals? Your wife had a baby. You worked out terms with the accounts receivables and payables department, okay?
Right. Yeah.
The problem is that in this country, and this is what to a lot of people, Hillary Clinton's national health care plan, which is an absolute socialized medical disaster, ask the people in Canada, the people
right.
that still have the money come down here to get their operations that they need. We've got to go back step by step by step and undo this thing. The problem is going to be that if it's not done correctly, it's going to hurt people because they're so plugged into the matrix and into the government right now, cradle to grave, that if it's not done correctly, a lot of people are going to suffer. But we're all going to suffer if they continue. Well, what do you mean if they continue? If we stop this last week, people are going to be suffering, okay?
Right.
So, you know, to jump in on an issue like that, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, let's go in Mr. Sherman's Wayback Machine here, where people provided for themselves and they got a decent wage for what they were doing. If they weren't happy with their wage, they smartened up, got out, went out and did a business for themselves or got a better paying job. There was incentives here in this country. These incentives are being wiped out.
Well, I think that, you know, regardless of what stand you take on the issue, because, for instance, you know, how you were saying before, and I think this is a really underlying problem with why people on one side of the political spectrum can't resolve themselves with people on the other side,
right.
is that, you know, just like George Bush is not a conservative and doesn't speak for conservative values at all, neither do the Democratic corrupt leadership speak for our values. And
right.
what I do believe is that we don't live in a perfectly capitalist economy. Whether or not you have a problem with capitalism, we have cartels.
Oh, okay, but there again, stop, because now you're doing something that I think even the Russians invented. They called us capitalists. What we had is a free market society. We
right.
didn't have the capitalism was kind of that term was invented because government, being the corporation it is, got in bed with other corporations.
Right. Well, I mean, then in the capitalist system, we have cartel formation, whereas in the free market system, ideally, we would have people providing for themselves and fair market prices
right.
for everything. So we
right.
wouldn't need government services. So, I mean, I don't believe that the conservatives or the quote unquote conservatives in power right now have any type of support for their ideology, in the same way that men like Trotsky or Stalin don't speak for people in the left wing. It's just that there is this fake debate going on between these two
exactly.
political parties
it
that
is.
Are absolutely infiltrated. And I just wanted to reiterate, you know, my thanks to Mr. Sharp for not dividing us, because there are elements, you know, of people who speak out against the New World Order that want to divide us and balkanize us along
sure.
different groups. And I just really appreciate it. You know, bringing us all together.
Well, Barath, I appreciate your call very much, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
All right. See what's going on here, John? Do you see what's going on here?
Yeah, it's wonderful, and that's exactly the kind of feedback that we hope for, because you know, that crowd that I mentioned, that counterpunch.org, that we had some contributions from Jeff St. Clair and Alex Coburn, although it's spelled Z O C K B U R N. They contributed a joint essay to the first, the second volume, the first chapter of the second volume. And I should mention, just as a quick tangent, that it is the title of their essay is called The 13 Years War. And what it reveals is that the war in Iraq, they look at as a bookend on the end of, frankly, almost a decade and a half worth of conflict between us and Iraq, and look at all the sanctions and the horrible damage that was done to that society. So, you know, to imagine that this latest thing is the only bad thing we've ever done to Iraq is quite false. But they run this outfit called Counterpunch.org. Now, as a, I guess people would call me a social conservative. I don't even like to use the word anymore because it's been so abused and misused. But, you know, when it comes to abortion, the family, things like that, I have very, very traditional views, old-fashioned, reactionary views. But this Counterpunch outfit really does an excellent job. Their audience is primarily the left, but they bring in quote-unquote right-wingers who they agree with. They bring in libertarians. They bring in people who in mainstream leftist or left-wing circles are absolutely anathema. They're pariahs. But these guys from the other side of the aisle have exactly the same perspective we do, that we have to get back this, get past this this two-party thing, which does nothing other than really shut off real debate and real thought. And Coburn, in fact, I think it was the two of them, was a co-authored thing. Right before the last election, they wrote a book called Not a Dime's Worth of Difference, which, you know, obviously speaks for itself. But I kind of feel obligated to give credit where credit is due, even though there's many things I don't agree with them on. They are at least starting to, you know, go down the same road that we are, saying, look, folks, we need to really reinvent and refresh our political debate.
And John, these are the debates that should be on instead of supposedly showcasing Sean Hannity and his counterpart. I've got more respect for what the heck's his name? I just slipped my tongue here. Sean Hannity and Alan Combs. I met Alan Combs at the Republican National Convention a couple of years ago.
Really?
And I had an opportunity to talk with him at length. This guy, believe it or not, makes more sense to me than Sean Hannity does.
Yeah.
And I'm the...
How's that for damage with faint praise?
I'm telling you, and I'm the only guy... I'm going to have to post this picture that I took with him on the web. People are not going to believe it.
Yeah.
But And Hannity's hanging around like, you know, he understands that I'm a conservative, and he thinks I'm going to talk to him. I just looked at him, smiled, turned my back on him, and walked away. He got miffed. He was mad.
Yeah, not surprised.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. Don in Ohio. Hello, Don.
Good evening. I want to bring up the point about the NSA spying on Americans. Soon after that, I believe it was Rumsfeld came out and said that, well, the Democrats, a lot of the Democrats knew about it, you know, from day one. And if they thought that there was any unconstitutional matters there or even treason, that, you know, they have a duty to tell the American people about it. And I'm just thinking that doesn't the same thing go for people like Sybil Edmonds?
Mm.
If she thinks that there's treason afoot, you know, isn't it her duty to say your gag order means nothing?
Well, and the funny thing that's going on, because of people like Sybil Edmonds, you know, I just read that Bush is declaring war on the freedom of the press. Supposedly it's under the guise that, you know, reporters that are going after him on this Iraq deal. You know, well King, your clothes are down around your ankles. We all know that you now lied. But this is just not for reporters that are whining and complaining about Iraq right now. This is going to be across the board. You're not going to be able to criticize your government because they're going to sick the FBI on you. That's what this is coming down to.
Yeah, it's like the old days of the COINTELPRO, you know, during Vietnam. And Ray McGovern in his essay in Volume 2 writes about that. We're headed in very much the same direction, unfortunately.
And I'll tell you what, they were up there and they were carrying on their social engineering, and every writer could have as much ad space or as much line space in any publication, whatever, it didn't matter. But now they're finding themselves under attack. Now, you're going to have to get out of the journalism field. And let me remind you folks, you know, they only wanted one news agency in Russia. It was government controlled.
Yeah.
They had their own reporters. So all you people that have these journalistic ideas, you people listening to the program right now down at University of Texas or on the campus right now, I know you guys listen. A lot of you guys are in journalism school. What for? Well, what for? Just go get a government job and you'll be stamped. You'll have an approval.
Well, and it's shuddering to think that the situation in journalism could actually get worse under this new regime. I mean, because it's so bad as it is.
Can it get any worse? Can it get any worse?
Yeah, that's the question. I mean, I think it's going to. But you know, again, the frame of reference is a frightening one because you raise the question: how much bad could it possibly get? But we'll have to keep our ears open in this Iran thing. I mean, I don't know about you, John. I'm interested in your comments, but I'm getting a deja vu kind of feeling. I mean, this rhetoric and this discussion and the heating up of the
yep.
discussion,
yep.
it's so reminiscent of 4 years ago or 3.5 years ago. Exactly
well,
the same trajectory.
I heard the other day, and I heard this on Fox News. I forget which overpaid whore was on the set that particular day. Excuse me, but they actually made the statement that, well, Saddam Hussein killed hundreds of thousands of his own people.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. A couple of months ago, it was just a couple of thousand. Now it's hundreds of thousands.
Yep.
Oh, this evil regime, and now it's spreading, and Iran is sending in people, and they're fighting other people in Iraq right now. The insurgents. Oh, my God, isn't this terrible?
Yeah,
what?
It really goes from bad to worse. But you know, again, to beat the same old drum. I mean, one of the things that's I think so well brought out by these couple of essayists that we had join us right at the end as the book was going to press, Mark Jerry, who's an Iraq scholar from out in California, and Colonel Don de Grand Prix, who's also well known in the 9/11 circles, but he lives down here south of us in Madison, Virginia, a retired Army colonel and a Pentagon bureaucrat during the Vietnam time period. They both did such a good job at looking at the current politics in Iraq, what the insurgency is, what the resistance is, as the colonel calls it. You read these two essays together, they're probably about 50 pages. So you take 3 days, you read through the 50 pages, they're thought-provoking, so you have to concentrate, but they're not, you know, they're not hard, they're not overwhelming. It's mostly quotes from either mainstream sources or from bloggers and other independent reporters who are on the ground in Iraq. But you come away with a profound sense of what the playing field on the ground in Iraq now looks like. And these guys that are in the government who are the Iranian-backed Shiites who were working against Iraq from the early 80s, fighting against the government on behalf of Iran, who are now in power thanks to the quote-unquote democracy that we installed over there. The insurgency, according to Colonel Don, is a clear kind of nationalist rebellion or nationalist uprising against their country being occupied by a foreign power, which makes perfect sense. I mean, it raises the question, would we do anything different if the situation were reversed? If bin Laden, you know, brought a horde of Muslims into Muslim extremists, as they're called, into Manhattan, would we just sort of roll over and throw flower petals and say, oh, thank you for liberating us? Now, there's an argument to be made that being liberated
now, wait
from
a minute.
The current
now,
regime is not
John,
such a bad idea.
John,
yeah.
You just said something here that, you know, I was in just before. You mentioned New York. I said pretty soon they're going to stretch this into South Bronx.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, no, you're exactly right. And that's, you know, that's kind of the silliness of the situation we've created. But again, without putting yourself in your den or whatever and curling up with a good book like this or tuning into your program for an afternoon and really, you know, turn off the CNN and the Fox and let this stuff percolate in your mind, you come away with a sense that, hey, what we're being told and what the way things are characterized, I think is the best way to say it, because, you know, these guys are too smart to just lie outright and, you know, say, oh, well, the sky is not blue, the sky is actually green, and, you know, that water flows from the ground upwards and these kind of things. They're not quite that stupid. They're very, very subtle in what they do, and so they will either mischaracterize something or they will allow something to be mischaracterized and then just kind of shrug and say, well, you know, we didn't really have a lot of data on that. I couldn't confirm or deny. And it leaves this impression to float out there. I mean, if you watch our Secretary of Defense, he is, I think, the master at this kind of approach where someone will raise an objection and he'll say, you know, I just couldn't comment.
Yeah.
So he doesn't deny it, again, leaving the impression that what's said is true, whether it's really true or not. You have to inoculate yourself, I think, against this kind of thing. And the only way to do it is to tear into the substance and get really into the meat of what's happening.
But what format, John, is that done on? What program can anybody tune into?
Oh, well, aside from yours, there's none. I mean, yours and, you know, the few other of your colleagues, if not colleagues at RBN, I mean, your colleagues in spirit, you know, who do other programs that are similar to yours. And the same thing with the books, I'd say. I mean, read these books as an absolute necessity to get your head on straight about what's going on. But if you're talking mainstream programs, it's just not possible.
All right. We got to come up on a break here in just a couple of seconds. Don in Ohio, if you have any follow-up or another question for my guest today, John Sharp. And I misspoke, ladies and gentlemen, so let me correct myself here. We have both books, Neoconned and Neoconned Again, and now I just lost the space here. Let me see here. Back up it goes.
$45, I think you were saying, right?
Yeah, it was $45 plus $4.50 shipping and handling, and that's more than $10 off. So give us a call Monday because nobody's here to answer the phones. It is 50 past the hour, and it's still 91 degrees down here in Central Texas. So everybody flew the coop out of here early. So give us a call Monday at 800-724-2719. Get Neoconned and Neoconned Again, folks, and then spread it to your friends. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Mr. Fukuyama, after all, was one of the most prominent intellectuals who signed the 1997 Project for a New American Century, the founding manifesto of neoconservatism drawn up by William Kristol, editor of the Weekly Standard. By the way, you can get a daily dose of him on Fox News. The PNAC aimed to cement for all time America's triumph in the Cold War by increasing defense spending, challenging regimes that were hostile to U.S. interest, and promoting freedom and democracy around the world. Its goal was an international order friendly to our security, prosperity, and values. Well, a lot of these people don't want McDonald's on a street corner, on the other street corner, a XXX movie theater. It's not their idea of freedom, okay? The war in Iraq, seriously justified by the supposed threat posed by Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction, was the test run of this theory. It was touted as a panacea for every ill of the Middle East. The road to Jerusalem, the neocons argued, led through Baghdad, and after Iraq, why not Syria, Iran, and anybody else that stood in Washington's way? All that, Mr. Fukuyama now acknowledges, has been a tragic conceit. So here we have one of the neocons that signed on to this thing in 97 going, well, wait a minute here, I was mistaken. John, why are they backpedaling, man? Well, what's the deal? Have we
It's interesting, and I don't wonder if it's what we said earlier on at the beginning that, that you know, now Buckley has pulled back, William Buckley, you know, the establishment, at one time establishment conservative, now neoconservative, you know, for the past at least 10 years, if not more. I am so suspicious of these guys, and they have, I mean, it's been proven that they play so fast and loose with the truth that any kind of, oh, gee, we were wrong, you know, blah, 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 I take a lot of that with a grain of salt. I don't wonder if it's not a way, frankly, to convince people that they should be open to doing something military against Iran, because here there's a very candid admission. Look, we've learned our lesson.
Yeah.
We know it's a bad idea to go in with a poor strategy for the cleanup. We know perhaps we pushed it a little bit in terms of a low number of troops. We'll do it right this time,
yeah,
because I have so many people that I hear talk about how we have such trouble in Iraq, but the trouble is not that going in was a bad idea in general. I mean, yeah, in terms of the principle, Iraq's a better place. We liberated them from this heinous dictator. He was such an evil man. Someone had to do something, and it obviously falls to the benevolent, the imperial power to clean up that mess. But we did make some mistakes, so we're going to do it right this time. And to me, that's the sense, the tenor of this whole thing. And it's not, you know, these guys have, if you read Colonel Gardner's essay, Sam Gardner, who's an Air Force colonel, who analyzes the media campaign that led up to and continued during the war, how closely orchestrated and closely timed. You'd have announcements from Tony Blair, announcements from George Bush, certain things that were passed to the media, certain things that were leaked to the media. It's not like this is haphazard. It's not like people don't know what they're doing or they don't know what they're saying in public. It was so well orchestrated. There's no evidence to suggest that they're not going to orchestrate the same thing and that their public statements are now just haphazard or random or people are breaking ranks. To me, the fact that they operate in such a coordinated fashion leads us to some reasonable grounds for believing that this admission about, well, here we're admitting our mistakes in Iraq only to gain a certain amount of credibility so they can tell people, well, we're going to do it right this time.
And now tune in for the brand new show. Yeah. John Sharp, thank you so much. As I said before, I don't mean to swell your head up or anything, but the more I talk to you, the greater understanding of the scope of your understanding that I get. So you're going to be back and back again. As long as you don't get tired of doing the show, we'll have you back as many times as necessary.
Well, I would love to do it, John. Thanks for your hospitality and your support, and good luck on sales of the book.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right, you
too.
God
bless. Bye.
Bye-bye. That'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with you Monday with a brand-new edition of the National Intel Report. Tune in then. We'll see you. Get busy over the weekend. Put your thoughts together and then put them into action. God bless. We'll see you Monday.
In America, we value our liberty. But there's a new movement quietly being pursued by politicians that will take away our precious freedoms. It's been deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim that their objective is to promote trade by removing barriers between the countries of North and South America. In reality, the FTAA is a raw power grab. It will lead to a new government over the entire Western Hemisphere. This supergovernment will steadily take away America's rights, our Constitution, even the freedoms that we love so dearly. Protect your freedoms. Go to stopthefTAA.org. Then let Congress know that the FTAA is not an option for America. Stop the FTAA.org and keep America free.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.